Hey, welcome back to the Infants Podcast. This is episode 56. Enter the Matrix, Johnny.
I forgot the number.
Hey, I'm Brian.
Johnny.
And this week we are going to talk about the Matrix franchise.
Okay.
Anyway, how you doing, Johnny?
Doing all right.
Good week?
Sure.
You saw Suicide Squad?
I did.
So we'll talk about that in just a few seconds here, but in our little quick newsy bites, the Flash has a Mirror Master. How do you feel about that?
It's not David Cassidy.
No? You wanted to be David Cassidy?
He was Mirror Master on the original
Flash. Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that. So,
See, Katie Cassidy's been linked to this whole universe for ages.
She has. So, they cast Grey Damon, who you described,
but I don't remember.
Yeah, he was in... He was in Friday Night Lights in the last season.
Just put a picture of him in the show notes.
He played Hastings. He was the basketball player that they stole because he was so tall.
Don't think the fifth season was that memorable.
It was on. It was one of the ones that was on DirecTV.
Yeah.
So like I said, it was the last season.
Don't think it was that memorable.
The last season of that show was good.
Was it? I don't remember it that well.
Anyway,
the last episode was really good. I remember that, but that's all I remember.
Yeah. So. Oh, breaking news. Supergirl adds a Monel.
Monel.
I always call Monel. I don't know why. Mainly because I can't speak right. I ain't speak real good.
Okay.
Anyway, but,
so they're tying to the Legion now with Monel.
So, well, that goes into, Barry running through the time vortex and seeing the Legion ring.
Monel, aka Valor.
Yep. All right. So in other little news bites,
breaking news? Did you just happen to see that?
Literally just came across on Newsarama. Breaking news.
Yes.
All right.
Hello. This is Walter Cronkite. It has been messaged out that Mon-El will be appearing on Supergirl. Meanwhile, Superman will be coming in Supergirl.
Oh.
Did you see that advertisement?
I did.
Terrible. Terrible wording.
Innuendo at its best.
It's like, did somebody not realize that like before they put that out? It's like,
well, the best thing was that I saw it was that and then a picture of Archer and it said phrasing.
Oh.
So,
nice.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, so the next thing is Star Trek Discovery has a time frame taking place. About a decade before the original series. I'm just not at all like I wanted them to go like way in the future with this.
Yeah. But we know like stuff that happens in the future a little bit because time travel eventually becomes a thing that they use
all the time
traveling in space. Except they travel through time and explore time,
I guess. So is this still part of the Kelvinverse? I haven't seen anything. So this is still Prime.
This is Prime, yeah. It's, in that universe.
Okay. It seems so weird.
The article that I read acknowledged that something that's been mentioned in Star Trek history will be a focal point, I guess, of this story. And that the main character is not the captain of the ship, but a lieutenant commander.
Okay.
And a female lieutenant commander. They said that, race is not a thing, so it could be a black, white, yellow, green, whatever.
Sure.
In Star Trek universe, she could be, an Orion.
That would be cool to focus on an alien, as the POV character.
Right, yeah. So it's a female character, lieutenant commander. I'm assuming that she is going to be, a security chief or something like that.
Okay.
The way it sounded. They said the costuming and all that's going to be reminiscent of the original track, but obviously it's modernization, so some things will be modernized.
Alrighty then. Cool. So, alright, I mean...
I already predicted that Zachary Quinto will show up as Spock.
Yep, you did say that, so...
Not until the second season. They've mentioned in the article Amanda Grayson, obviously Spock's mother. If they do have her on there, I hope they're smart enough to just cast Winona Ryder, since she was
About the age.
In the Kelvin universe, she was Spock's mother. So it's You either do that or you have to cast a Jane Wyatt lookalike.
Yeah.
And I just think it would be, you know, smart business-wise if they're going to use any of the characters from Trek to just get the actors from the Kelvin universe to play.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
I would hope that it would make sense to them, but it is CBS and Paramount.
So who knows?
It'll be canceled after the first episode.
Digitally, you know.
Yeah, wow.
They're like, well...
They keep going back and forth, too, because I heard an announcement that it was going to be on CBS.
Yeah.
But then they're saying it's just going to be on the CBS All Access. And you're right. Like, get your story straight. It's like, you know, people who are doing stories about this need to get their story straight.
You know, I'm honestly okay if this isn't on CBS proper.
Yeah.
If they keep it on
fine.
All Access.
Yeah, if it's All Access, that's fine.
And then...
You got, you're paying $6 an episode or something like that.
And then,
so I'll just wait until it's all over and buy the box set that they put out, because it's like, you know, it'll have special features on it and stuff like that.
Or just do a month of All Access and watch it all at once and be done with it.
Watch it all at once,
It's like the, ABC's talking about the live action Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, do it digitally. Do it on like, not on Netflix or anything. Do it on like the ABC app, you know? Let's not do 22 episodes of wheel spinning ABC. All right, so then the other thing is The Suicide Squad, which you saw since we last
Since last we spoke.
What did you think?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
You said 8 out of 10?
8 out of 10, and it was because I just went in with no expectations of anything besides the knowledge that, you know, Warner Brothers put their fingers in it and screwed up a little bit of it, which you know, you can tell where, like I was telling you, Joel Kinnaman had an accent for part of the movie and then the accent went away and I'm like, well, that was where they reshot and they didn't go back and look at anything and say, you need to have this accent.
See, I just attributed that to he's a bad actor.
No, he's not a bad actor.
Anyway,
that's the thing.
No, I'm kidding.
But it's one of those things where it's like bad production when you don't go back, when you're having to do reshoots, you don't go back and rewatch what you've already shot.
Right.
So everybody talks with the right accents and acts the same way and, you know, all that.
Yeah.
Breakouts. I really enjoyed Adewale as Killer Croc for the little bit that he had, like, you know, of lines.
Right.
I actually thought that Enchantress was done decently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the comparisons to Ghostbusters are there.
Yeah
they are. But I thought that, you know, for not ever seeing her in anything, and I don't know if she actually has been in anything.
Yeah,
I think
she's been in a few things. She was in the John Green adaptation Paper Towns.
Oh, okay. So, like, you know, I've never seen her
in
anything
before.
Which is like a
tween, like, young adult
she
movie.
She was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I liked her more as Judy Moon, being that tortured character and that. But, you know, it wasn't her voice.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't her voice in those parts where she was, you know.
I don't know. I still kind of felt just a little like that character should have been, just had more presence than what she's capable of bringing at this point.
There's an editing point in that movie where you're like, you could tell where they really screwed up her story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, yeah, hopefully we get a director's cut.
Yeah.
To see what he actually was planning to do with her.
Or like you said, the Task Force X cut.
Yeah, Task Force X cut would be, you know, if they did one where it's both versions of it on there, I'd be perfectly fine buying that because I did enjoy this one and I would like to see what the R-rated version would have been.
Sure.
Because they did tone this down a little bit. I mean, you've seen the aftermath of some stuff, but you didn't see what had happened. And it's like, you know, it was fun.
Well, and the other cool thing is it is doing really well.
Yeah, for all the negativity that was, you know, aimed at it and that, and people who are just, you know, kind of haters that will talk bad about something but not go see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm sorry, but go see it, because I didn't have any high hopes for it at all. And I came out of it like, wow, that was fun. You know, it takes you out of the real world for a good 2 hours and, you know.
But it's done better than Guardians did from just a few years ago. Yeah. Did better than Civil War.
I think that's the whole fact of Harley Quinn is an attraction.
Yeah, the
people already
the girls
know who
and,
the character is, and it's like one of those things where you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, nobody knew who those characters were.
Right.
So it did well enough for a non-popular comic book to, like, go, oh, wow, that's kind of cool.
Right.
The thing with it is Harley Quinn is a known character. I mean, the best known of all those characters in that movie. And besides Batman.
Right. You
know. He is in the movie.
Who's Batman?
Batman.
Batman.
Yeah.
Drawing a blank.
Oh, get out. You're done. Just turn your mic off and keep turning the dials.
Anyway.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like you said, and I think it was done well enough. Batman is in that story when he needs to be in that story. And he didn't need to be in the whole story. Mm-mm. So it was like, I really enjoyed the parts with Batman because it's like, it totally felt like, especially like the car chase that's in the preview, felt like Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah,
because it was literally one of those things where what he does to her is like, yeah, Batman would do that.
Yeah.
Batman would definitely do that.
Definitely do that. I'm glad this movie's doing well.
Yeah.
Like, if this were the start of the DC Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Like, let's pretend there's no Man of Steel. Let's pretend there's no Crapman versus Crapperman, crap. This would be a great universe to start off in.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see. I will say this, though.
I think if Superman would have been done the way that I feel like it should have been done, where he is a positive character, he's not dour and sad face.
He's not Tobey Maguire.
He's
Spider-Man
not a bunch of
3.
Emojis.
Yeah,
because that's all he was a bunch of emojis that popped up on his face. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, decent actor, but just, you know, why do we have to have a tortured Superman? My dad died, keeping my secret, blah, blah, blah.
Like, I don't understand.
You know, the whole thing, like in the original Superman movie that Christopher Reeve was in, his dad died, but it was just nature took its course.
Yeah, it was a heart attack.
So it's like one of those things where, you know, having the whole thing where Kevin Costner stops him, like, you know, pretty much tells him, don't save me, is just one of those things that they could have just made it where Kevin Costner had a heart attack. And it would have been perfectly fine that way. And, you know.
Instead of him running off to save some dog.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. Like, I understand people's dogs are parts of their family and everything. But the motivation behind that scene was just.
The motivation behind
was
that
really
whole
bad.
Movie
well, yeah,
was just, but, like, really bad because it's one of those things where they tried to make Superman and the Batman.
It's because Zack Snyder is not a great storyteller.
Right.
When it's off book.
When it's the, I've got to tell an original story.
Yeah.
I mean, the parts on Krypton I liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair.
I mean, the stuff with Russell Crowe interacting with Kal-El.
Part of that, though, is Russell Crowe is just badass. Yeah. You know, I mean,
that's the thing is, like, it's got a decent, like, both movies had decent cast, but they were just written wrong. And then you get Suicide Squad, where it's like, you know, the story is told well, put together well, even with, you know, the executives getting their fingers in there. And it's like, why isn't this guy writing these movies then?
Who knows?
He even got Batman right in 15 minutes of portrayal. I mean, including the thing in, there is a thing in the credits with Bruce Wayne, and it's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he got it right.
Yeah.
Yes, Viola Davis could have been, that could have been anybody. They should have just got Angela Bassett to come in and play her again. I mean, it would have been.
From Green Lantern.
Yeah, she played that character in Green Lantern. So it's like, you know, and Angela Bassett's a badass. So
she is. She's total badass.
That would have been fine.
But, it seems that people are more into villains versus villains than they are heroes versus heroes.
Yeah.
With the box office numbers, at least. So,
in this day and age, there's a fine line between a villain and a hero.
Right.
It's more, a gray area than it was, 30, 40 years ago.
Sure.
I mean, 30, 40 years ago, Superman was Superman. Batman was Batman. And, you know, Lex
neither
Luther
the twain
was,
shall meet.
Right. It's just one of those things where it's like they were the super friends.
Right.
And I was like, we're just hanging out with each other, but I don't know if I like him or not.
Yeah, you're okay for the moment.
The interaction between, and I know it's probably because they had already worked together, but the interaction between Will Smith and Margot Robbie.
It was because they were in, what was it?
Focus,
which I didn't get a chance to watch.
I've never seen it, but I'm like, you know, obviously because they had previous acting relationship. Mm-hmm. It's like you could tell that, you know, they were popping off of each other really well.
And they had a great like brother sister.
Jai Courtney was cracking me up
with the unicorn. The stuffed unicorn was great.
I love the jacket. I want the jacket that just says Captain across the front of it.
All right. Yeah. I know what I'm getting you for Christmas now. Yeah. So, all right. Well, cool.
He should have just been drinking a can of Foster's the whole time.
Well, he was drinking the whole time. I don't know what it was.
He couldn't show Foster's, so, you know.
That's a little racist, man. Like, thinking Australians only drink Foster's?
No, it's just one of those things where it would have been a fun thing.
It would have. You're right. Yeah, that was.
What are you drinking?
for Foster's, that was a missed marketing opportunity. So.
Well, and the thing that, like, I know from the previews that sucked that wasn't in the movie was the whole bar scene was longer.
Right.
And they chopped that up really bad.
I think they tried to make it more emotional and less, you know, but whatever. It was what it was.
Yeah.
But we can both safely agree that Jay Hernandez pretty much
he was
stole
awesome.
The show.
He was awesome.
So. All right. You ready to take the red pill or the blue pill?
Is that all we don't have anything else?
No, that was it, man. I wanted something. We got some Matrix to talk about.
We got some Matrix to talk about. Yeah. That's a shame.
That's a shame.
That's a shame.
Oh.
The Matrix.
The Matrix. All right. So for those of you who aren't aware, The Matrix is a 1999 American-Australian neo-noir science fiction film written and directed by the Wachowskis. Used to be the Wachowski brothers, now the Wachowski sisters, which I think explains a lot of some things that happened in this movie. But anyway, The Matrix starred Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, Carrie-Anne Moss, Hugo Weaving, and Joe Pantoliano.
Joey Pants.
I love Joey Pants. Anytime he shows up in something, I'm super excited. So, all right, we're going to talk about all three movies in the Animatrix, but we're going to focus mainly on The Matrix. What? You're shaking your head.
The second two, like I told you when I watched them, I'm like, still not as good as they ever were.
No, they're still steaming piles of horse feces. Now here
I'm just, not okay, you know what, I went to school for broadcast journalism,
right?
And I learned how to edit stuff.
Yeah,
just let me get into those movies and edit them and I'll show you how they should have been.
Do you want
it could
me
have
to,
just been two Matrix movies.
Do you want to borrow one of my Macs? I'll do everything, put all digital files
all
on
there
for
and
you
just
and
edit it
and let you go loose.
Who is it that has the
Topher Grace 85 minutes long.
85 minutes long.
Star Wars episodes 1 through 3. All right, so here's the thing.
We'll do the Johnny Potter of Matrix.
I'm all for that. The first Matrix.
Yeah.
If the second two never come out, we still talk about how that is one of the greatest science fiction movies of all time. Maybe even the best.
Yeah.
That's how bad the other two were.
I don't know if it was the best.
I said, I'm saying
it's
arguably.
Like up
it's,
there. It would be in the top 10 sci-fi movies.
Like the, what is it? AFI rates it at number like 60 or something like that.
On
it's
total
like,
100
on the
movies.
No, just on the science fiction ones. It's like way, the original. Like number one.
Number two and three aren't even on the list.
No, they shouldn't be. And if they are, the list is completely invalid. So here's the thing about this one, right? There is a whole bunch of... So this is what... Like, I read a quote, and I forget who said it. I'll have to look it up. And I'll put in the show notes. But the excitement that came out of The Matrix was the excitement that we should have gotten from Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Like, we should have walked out of Phantom Menace feeling... I think I saw this one 8 times in the movie theater.
Wow.
Now, I was in college at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting my degree in journalism with a minor in film studies because I had this weird thing thinking like, oh, I'm going to go to grad school and I'm going to get a PhD in film studies. And I'm going to write a book about 1930s German cinema.
Oh,
you know, that was kind of like where my headspace was.
Right.
When I realized, wait a second, that I'll never have more than $3 in my pocket.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You would have been writing about Metropolis a lot.
Yeah, lot of that. A lot of Goebbels, you know, just with the philosophy, technology and Dr. Caligari.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, Battleship Potemkin.
Oh, wow. God.
I know. I go there. anywho, I totally derailed my trip. Oh, so I actually was interning at the Greater Cincinnati Film Commission at the time.
Oh, okay.
So I got to go see this like 3 times before it even came out.
Nice.
So like going to different screenings sure. and stuff like that.
Yeah, you were the guy standing down at the bottom when everybody's looking at you like, who's this dork? Like, hello, everybody.
Nope, I did not have to do that. All I had to do was show up and tape like the reserve signs on seats then go sit in whichever seat I wanted to sit in.
Right.
So that was great. I just fell in love with this. And one of the reasons I really was drawn to this movie was the initial advertising campaign.
Yeah.
All you got was that cool little green matrix code falling yeah. down and Lawrence Fishburne's voiceover going, you can't be told what the matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
Right.
And that was it. There was nothing else. No bullet time.
I didn't see this in the theater.
Yeah.
Not at all.
That's fair. No Carrie Ann Moss being sexy and black.
The one thing I seen, and I think I might still have it, was a postcard.
Yeah.
That was given away at conventions. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those grab off the table things. And all what it was the like egg sack with a baby in it. And it was, you don't know what the matrix is.
Right.
And it's like, okay.
Like okay. I still have the free movie ticket. Somewhere
right
in this house.
Now do you want to hear the ridiculous story of when I seen it?
Yes.
DVD technology had just started, like really coming out. So I get a DVD player for Christmas.
Okay.
And the movie I get with it is The Matrix.
Nice.
Hook everything up, put The Matrix in, and it doesn't work.
Oh.
So my mom and dad have bought the DVD player when The Matrix came out in the theaters in like April, because it was on sale or whatever, and then bought the movie like when it came out on DVD.
Right.
And the time between when The Matrix came out in the theater and when it came out on DVD, they had to change the technology because of The Matrix.
To play that
movie. And it was like, okay, this is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
So,
and then I watched the movie and I'm like, I understand.
So there was a Matrix video game for the PS2.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was like, well, it was awesome when it worked.
Right.
It was such a like resource heavy game that it would just constantly freezing. It would freeze and crash. Down, right? It would crash the entire thing. Right.
Yeah.
And, I had my original PS2 I'd bought used and it died and I ended up buying the slim one.
Yeah.
It did not work on the slim one. And I'm like, you mother. So, like, I was, like, a solid, like, 3/4 of the way through the game, too. Like,
oh, wow.
Like, that's how much I enjoyed playing it. I would, like, go and, like, you know, wait, load it back in, play. But, no, this first movie, I mean, it was, like, not just the DVD technology that you're talking about. I mean, it was groundbreaking with the way
there's
they did
effects.
There's a lot
of effects in there.
I just did a short list of what The Matrix gave us on here. Bullet time, the very first thing. That whole like pan around the, you know, still frame while other stuff happens. Like that wasn't happening before. Zack Snyder would not have a career without The Matrix.
There you go. Yeah.
Damn you Wachowskis.
Damn you Wachowskis. Why didn't you do a Superman movie instead?
Well, they kind of did. Anyway, the whole thing with the I Know Kung Fu, which I mean, to this day, when you want to do something or say something stupid, you know, you get that
I know Kung Fu.
You get that dumb Keanu look on your face and, you know,
I know Kung Fu.
Anyway, and then
whoa.
Yeah. You know, this also gave us Carrie Ann Moss, who wasn't really in much of anything before this.
Yeah, she had been in like TV stuff.
She credits The Matrix with giving her a career.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I would say like, you know, for a guest starring TV actress to be like thrown into the limelight by like this. So you definitely had a good career there for her.
Oh yeah. Like she did this, like, well, all three of these. She did Memento.
Yeah.
That Red Planet with Val Kilmer, which was not bad. Not
I don't
a bad
remember
Mars movie.
Seeing that, but I'm sure I did.
You know, so we have her in the Marvel Netflix universe.
Yeah, now she's part of the Marvel,
which is great, and she's great in that role.
Yeah.
So it gave us the Wachowskis. I would like to see some more out of them other than Speed Racer and things like that, but
Speed
It's
the
fun
Matrix
to watch.
Four.
Yeah, pretty much.
The Matrix 4.
Anyway,
that was like they should have done that where they would have said at the end that that was a story that took place in the Matrix.
That would have been cool.
Like the revised mm-hmm. Matrix that happens at the end.
This is the new Matrix.
Yeah, the new Matrix where things that are unbelievable actually do happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been a cool, like, this is a Matrix tale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the Animatrix, which I don't know. Did you watch all 9 of those?
I did.
Those were...
It's been, you know, years, but...
So, those were, like, some prequel things, you know, kind of continuation type things. But for the most part, all 9 of those are really fun to watch.
The best one is the two-parter that's the origin of the Matrix mm-hmm. and showing why things happen the way they happen.
That the Dojo one is really good, too. So, yeah. But yeah, so then I don't know anyone who didn't have a Matrix code screensaver.
I did not.
You didn't?
I don't think I did.
Wow.
Because it froze the computer up.
Because it's so, well, and so that's the last thing on here is the paranoia that we're all really living in the Matrix. Like anytime I see like a cat or have that deja vu feeling, I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Like robot overlords, what's going on here?
Would that Do you consider them overlords?
Yeah.
I don't. I don't think they were overlords. I think they were just taking care of themselves and using the people, but the people were still being
we were just a resource that they needed to take care of, though.
I mean, mentally, they were keeping people functioning to keep the electric going through their brains.
Right.
And that. But it was the thing to keep them alive. They had to keep us alive. Right.
And to keep us alive, we had to be
really
happy, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I look at it as overlords just because they do lord over, you know, the human race, and they could at any moment wipe out the entire human race and then move on or whatever.
Shut down because they wouldn't survive otherwise.
But
what are they gonna do? Hook all the dogs and cats up to it? It's gonna look like the end of Inside Out.
Yeah. Oh God.
The Matrix turns into Inside Out.
That is that's priceless right there. That's a good visual.
That would be awesome. All the dogs and cats hooked up to the Matrix.
Dogs and cats living together. Anyway. Let's talk about Matrix Reloaded, which was the second one.
Yeah.
That one was them, the Wachowskis.
Do you
want to
know what I had a problem with in that movie?
Was that
the whole drum thing in the cave? And
yeah. Yeah, that
Morpheus
was...
Morpheus turned into... what did he turn into? Pretty much like, you know, the Second Coming.
Yeah, he was their big prophet.
We will beat the Matrix. Mm-hmm.
We will shun them back. Yeah. And we will... dance.
I don't. Yeah, that was like, you know, it was like a 5-minute music video in the middle of the movie.
He was like Kevin Bacon in Footloose when he was trying to get everyone to do the prom. You know, that's kind of what
going
that always reminded
me
of.
The guy who didn't agree.
Yeah, the guy, the uptight dude who is always the uptight dude in everything he's in.
Yeah, Dollhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but yeah, in Dollhouse, he was kind of the same character.
So I think the other thing where it's starting to go wrong is, instead of doing the cool like camera stuff and like the wire work,
right?
They went like full CG on a bunch of the stuff, and it was just too much. There were some really cool things.
There's cool in the second one. There's cool story elements and things are explained because the Matrix is our world,
right?
It's supposed to be our world, so things like vampires and ghosts and werewolves get explained in there, and there's actually vampires, werewolves, and ghosts in the movie,
right?
And it's like, okay, that part of that story is kind of like mind blowing.
The twins, the albino twins. We're like, it's like, why was there not a half hour more of them? Like, it would have been so much awesome. The freeway chase is one of the cooler things ever until the end when CGI Neo comes Supermaning in to save the day. Now, Harold Perrineau's reaction to that.
Oh, when he says he's Supermaning?
And when he comes in and he grabs Morpheus and the Keymaster.
He's
just sitting at his console. His arms just go up, like, you know. It was like nice, but
that's one of the more like better things of that movie. Harold Perrineau in that one, In yeah. the third one, nobody was good.
Well, he didn't, nobody, they barely used him in the third
nothing
one.
Nothing was good in the third one.
The third one was all about
Smith.
Smith.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but...
Mr. Anderson, it's good to see you. I've cloned everybody in the Matrix mm-hmm. into me. Yeah. And it's like, you know, the whole thing where... I mean, spoiler alert, this movie has been out for a long time.
Almost 20 years.
I mean, yeah, we're just going to talk about both of the sequels. Killing Trinity was dumb.
Yeah.
Because I think that if they would have left her alive and continued the story of her and let Neo die,
mm-hmm.
that it would have been, you know, showing her pregnant, showing her having Neo's baby or something, and then
the second.
You know another story was coming. Story was coming, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, like, they did a bunch of things where it was like, all of a sudden he could control things outside of the Matrix.
Well, yeah, because he started to fuse.
Which made a little sense, but, like, then he had the whole Paul Atreides thing where he loses his sight.
Yeah.
And he can still see for like a minute to do the one thing he needs to do.
Well, it was like he could see the Matrix still. Yeah. But he was seeing his fire.
But
like,
so no, he on only fire. Saw Smith, who was in that Bane guy's body.
Well, no, when he
and then after he kills that guy, it all fades to black and he's blind until
he
they get to the
through the Machine City that he could see everything.
And
it
wasn't
city.
Until he gets back to the Machine City that he can see everything. So he could see Smith
and then cuts
because,
a deal with the Matrix.
Yeah.
Like, you keep everybody alive that's hooked up to you, but you gotta let the city stay alive, too.
Leave Zion alone.
Yeah, Zion has to be left alone.
Yeah.
Most excellent.
I am an FBI agent. So,
Wild Stallions rule!
I was thinking they should do another one.
Yeah.
Where Alex Winter is the one.
Nice.
So...
I'm surprised they didn't rip on that at some point, you know. There was enough bullet time rips that it was like, geez.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to see it. Seriously, as good as bullet time was, you got tired of it after a while.
Well, in the first one, it was awesome because it was used maybe like 3 or 4scenes.
But I mean, like,
we had never seen
everybody
that.
Everybody used it.
But then,
that.
Yeah, I mean, it got, what was it? The
Resident Evil used it.
And was it the Replacement Killers?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, they went, like, way overboard with it. And even, like, years later, that Clive Owen shoot 'em up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that movie was basically all done in bullet time.
Yeah.
You know, Monica Bellucci was in both of those.
Monica Bellucci's all over the place.
She's an attractive lady.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Merovingian, like, they could have cut that entire part out of the movie, and it would have been the better for it.
Yeah, it was just one of those things where it's like, I pretty much assume that Warner Brothers let the Wachowskis do whatever they wanted after the first one was so successful, and it was like they took a few wrong turns.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, you know. So the reason
Smith
you know what?
Could have been
I
done.
Blame Hugo Weaving for that. Anytime he goes past like one episode of a movie,
Smith was done at the end of the first one. It's like they could have left Smith and brought in a new villain for each of the movies and made the Matrix the villain in the last one and had it where he had to cut a deal of some sort where they wouldn't destroy Zion.
Right.
And I mean, that would have been fine.
Right.
Like, fight the ultimate villain or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe bring Hugo Weaving back to fight.
Just for, like, the last scene
but,
or
I mean,
whatever.
The
that
would
have been, like, cool. Like, the evil gunslinger coming into town.
Cloning everybody and everything. And it was like, what is this? It's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Because you really got lost after a while. Because it's like, well, which one's which?
The last 30 minutes of the last movie makes little to no sense.
There's just punching and fighting and rain.
Yeah, and like,
and that's another thing. Why all the rain?
Yeah, it's a computer. Like, make it bright and sunny.
Yeah.
So
because he had tainted the system so badly that
I guess I don't.
Yeah, it was literally I think like you know that whole thing where that was a thing that doesn't get explained well is the Matrix should have been more in a panic because it had a virus.
Yeah,
and the virus was Smith.
Right. And that was the deal that the computer had.
Yeah, but
to,
I mean, it's all like
with,
just
with Neo.
Like, you know, roll up real slow.
What do you want?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it seriously was just a bad
I've seen
CG.
This all before.
Yeah,
the CG was awful.
With the Matrix
so
talking to him, it was like it should have just been a machine like Close Encounters of the Third Kind where it would just light up as it was talking.
Right.
and no face, nothing like that. The machine does not need a face.
No.
If you're doing a movie with a robot that is a robot overlord, the machine does not need a face.
Or if you're doing a movie with a robot that's called Transformers, they do not need lips. They do not need to see it's a, or let's say you're doing a movie with a robot named Ultron.
Right.
He doesn't need lips.
Yeah.
And at that point, if you're doing a movie with Ninja Turtles, they don't need lips either.
Do they have lips?
Yes, they have lips.
I don't think they have lips.
They do have lips.
Okay.
So anyway.
Turtles have lips though, don't they?
I don't think turtles, they kind of have like beak type thing. I don't know. Anyway. I digress.
No, but it's in all seriousness, robots don't always need to have a face.
Okay. Yeah, they don't need to be anthropomorphized. Yeah,
right. Not everything has to look like a human.
I mean, I know we're great and everything, and you know,
we're ugly.
We're awesome. Ugly. We're just stinky bags of meat who go around like a virus across the planet. So, but yeah, you know, sometimes I was on Smith's side. Throughout the first movie. It's like, dude, I get it. We should be wiped out. We're horrible. We're a plague.
Yeah, but that was the whole thing. Is like, you know, did they have an idea that they were going to do a sequel? Because at one point he talks to Morpheus about wanting to get out of the Matrix. It's like, what happened to you as a program that made you not like your robot overlord?
I think like any good storyteller, they probably had ideas of what they wanted to do. And no one expected the first one to be the hit that it was. That being said, man, it would have been great if they would have had a no person, or like someone else to you know, write or edit, and not just the two of them as a team.
But like I was telling you, like we've talked about them being the Wachowskis now and not the Wachowski brothers. Well, there's stuff in this movie that you realize that they were acknowledging, you know, their personal issues and personal beliefs and, you know, coming out of a closet.
I think it's very much a story of what, you know, they couldn't come out as transgender men the way they have now and be widely accepted because, you know, it was a different
but
time.
But it's not even the transgender thing. It's the thing that, and, you know, deleting the second two from my mind altogether.
Yeah, let's forget about
because I don't even think about this.
Yeah.
The Matrix, to me, watching it the first time, watching it again, watching it multiple times, has always been the fact that, you know, at the end when he's like, you know, I know who I am, I know who you are, and you better watch out, pretty much.
Right.
Like, you know, that's not the exact line, but that's pretty much what it was. The part where he says, I know who I am, is the fact that, you know, I think the Wachowskis were just saying that people should open their minds to more than what is you. What you think you are is not who you are.
Agreed.
Take the red pill or the blue pill. If you take the one pill, you're going to see more of what is going on around you.
Right.
And, you know, that's what it was. That was the choice that he told Neo that. Morpheus tells Neo that. If you take this pill, you're going to see things you don't even believe.
Right.
If you take the other pill, you're just going to go back to your mundane life.
Yeah.
And that, which is fine.
If you like your mundane life, great.
And I think that was what the Wachowskis were trying to do with that movie, was say to people, open up your minds. Look at everything that's going on in the world. And that, it's 1999 when this movie came out.
Yep.
So it's like not a lot had happened. You know, 9/11 hadn't happened yet.
No.
I mean, all the stuff that's happening, you know, throughout our time period now.
I mean, we were not a world at war.
Right.
Like we are
now.
Well,
it's just
and it wasn't just, I'm not just talking about like the military world, right? I mean, like politically right now, the United States is a shit show. And not to get into
it's just ever
one side
since
or the other.
9/11 has happened, the world has gotten angrier.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where this movie like makes you go, there's more to this than just this bullshit.
Right.
You know,
right?
There's more to, and it's not because we're hooked into a computer mind.
Yes,
and
we
all
are.
I know.
I know. I'm kidding.
As soon as I leave, I will go fly away. But you know,
you're gonna just walk out and
believe
straight
me,
up in the
if
air.
I knew that was, if we were in that world, I would have done it already.
Yeah,
I would have done it already.
Yeah,
because it's one of those things where if my mind's opened enough for all this stuff, that it's like, you know, I see the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I see, you know, what's behind behind the curtain.
You see how the sausage is made.
Because, and that's the thing, is the Wachowskis were inspired by other things, I think, you know, to do this movie. Their movie is a pretty original idea, but there's bits of Wizard of Oz. There's bits of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
There's bits of Tron
in
this movie. And I mean, the follow the white rabbit thing is definitely one of those things where, and I mean, if you look at Alice in Wonderland, when she goes down the rabbit hole, a lot of crazy shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's exactly what Neo was going through. Or Mr. Anderson.
That Mr. Anderson is the sound of inevitability.
Yeah. But I mean, that was the thing is like, I think it was, you know, because Hollywood, you know, even though they have no problem with gay, transgender, LGBT,
right?
You know, it's one of those things where people that go to Hollywood still feel that they can't tell who they really are.
Right.
They can tell it in their stories, though. And I think that part of that was with the Wachowskis that was Bound before The Matrix and The Matrix.
Right.
Both
Bound is such a good movie, too.
I've never seen Bound.
Really?
Yeah.
Joey Pants? Awesome. Yeah. Gina Gershon? Awesome. Jennifer Tilly? Awesome.
Right, yeah. I've heard it's a great movie. I've just never, like, you know, had the opportunity to see it. But, I mean,
there's a great scene between Jennifer Tilly and Gina Gershon that I'm sure you've seen. But,
visually.
Yeah.
The Wachowskis, and, you know, we'll include the Matrix sequels and Speed Racer. Visually, they are spectacular directors.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Just the way they see, you know, the way they see the world.
They can visually tell a story even, like, as not good as the sequels are.
Mm-hmm.
Visually, it looked beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the car chase scene.
Yeah.
The fights.
The freeway scene.
Yeah.
Like, I know I mentioned it before. Like, just to kind of talk about it a little bit. The freeway scene is one of these just choreographed stunt spectaculars that then they mix all this CG in and it just, it turns into something like, honestly, it of the second two, that's the best part.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it's something that's really special because they were, again, breaking new ground with that mix. Here's the other thing is none of these three movies look dated.
No, oh no. I mean,
the Matrix is almost 20 years old.
Yeah.
And
there's still people borrowing stuff from the Matrix for their movies. I mean, Suicide Squad.
Oh,
you could look at Suicide Squad and look at the Matrix and go, oh, yeah, I see where they borrowed this or where they borrowed that. And it's like, you know, that's a perfect example of something that just came out.
Yeah.
Where you look at it and you go, oh, yeah, there's certain stuff in there that makes me feel like it's a Matrix.
I mean, in the Man of Steel, when he's like up in space, like kind of listening.
Yeah.
Like, Neo did that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know Superman's done things like that before,
but
Neo did that long before,
right.
You know, anybody else. No, I just, you know, part of the reason I wanted to talk about this is because the wonderful thing about the world we live in these days is all three of these movies are on Amazon.com or Amazon Prime right now. Or streaming, whatever.
I was the one that suggested this. So I tortured myself.
Because, but when you suggested it, I had already watched all three.
Yeah, you had already watched all three, but I had no plans to watch the second two.
So I had watched the first one on like Friday night after the kid bought and the wife trauma went to bed. And then just was a lazy bum on Sunday. And I watched both of them back to back because, you know.
And I literally sat there and watched them all Monday. And I wouldn't have done it if I wouldn't have suggested it. And I'm like, and I still was like, man, these movies did not get any better with age.
But they didn't, I don't feel
visually,
like they got
like
worse
I said,
with age, though.
Visually, they look beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The story-wise, they are not well-told stories.
No, I feel like my opinion on them isn't worse than it was. Like, so like The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Like subsequent viewings of that movie make me like it less.
Okay.
All right. The Dark Knight Rises. I don't think I can watch that movie anymore because I hate it so much at this point. Like, it's just, like, it makes me mad, especially knowing, like, how good Christopher Nolan is.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think, like, toward the end, he just was like, whatever, just, let's just get it done?
I think, you know, you're looking at your phone looking up something right now. I think that's what he was doing on set most of the time. He probably never even looked any of the
actors
in the eye.
Unlike me, I can do that and talk about something. It's like, you know, I think it was at a certain point, it's like, hey, you want to direct a movie?
Yeah.
I'll just sit over there.
I got to go to my trailer. Yeah. There's a PA. She's really hot. You know?
If there's any problems, I'll be over at the food services table.
I'll be at craft services.
Yeah.
Don't bother me.
Yeah.
I really just want a sandwich.
Just have the guy talk like this. Yeah.
And remember, he's the Reckoning.
Yeah.
And he was born in darkness.
Yeah.
All right. So we kind of went back and forth a little bit.
When's
about
the Matrix
this.
Getting remade is what I'm wondering.
Well,
just kidding.
Someone had said, just kidding. I forget who it was. Someone said that there was talk about another trilogy. Like,
well, I think with the open end that is on that movie, that you could go and do the thing. But like I said, Trinity could have had a baby.
Yeah.
And that baby could have been the next one.
The second.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the second. Number two.
Who does number two work for?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, it's one of those things where I think that they tried to make the movie like hopeful at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, what would have been more hopeful is if they would have showed Trinity giving birth and having Morpheus there.
New life.
And, you know, a life born out of the fire of what Neo had to deal with.
A phoenix, if you will.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And he could have been preborn with the water of life, and
now you're going
Dune
on us.
Queen's not Haderach.
Stop with the Dune.
He's the fulcrum. Mm. He can be many places at once.
Okay.
Anyway.
Sure. Right.
Dude, and I mean,
you're calling him Optimus Prime, then.
Well, yeah.
The Matrix, you know, the Matrix of leadership.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's right there. It's all connected, my friend.
It's all connected. No. Luke Skywalker is Neo, and Neo is Optimus Prime. And Optimus Prime is Paul Maudib, and you know, it's just the thing of the hero.
Yeah.
They're all Odysseus.
Yep.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go back, they're all Hector, and they're all Odysseus, and you know, they're all Hercules, and that, and they're all Captain Kirk, and you know, it's one of those things where you can take that character and then build a good or bad story around that character.
All right. So before we kind of close out, let's real quick. If you could have cast this movie with different actors.
Actors that were from that era.
No, we'll do anybody.
Or just any
actor. Just any actor right
any
now.
Any actors from past or
past
present.
Past or present in their quote unquote prime, right? So let's do, who would you have done as Neo, Trinity, Morpheus, Smith?
Oh, that's just those four.
And,
just do those
and
four.
Stick with those four.
Yeah. Smith. I think that I would have Maximilian Schell.
Oh, that's a good
as
one.
As Smith. And, you know, if you listen to the Black Hole episode, obviously you know who he is. If you've seen Deep Impact or Black Hole, which I think are his two most popular movies. Trinity? Kim Basinger?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. But Kim Basinger, like 9.5 weeks era, like that young Kim Basinger as Trinity. Morpheus, Alec Guinness. Obviously, Obi-Wan Kenobi would be a good Morpheus. And Neo, if I had to pick anybody, like, throughout time, maybe Grant Gustin that plays the Flash.
Oh, yeah.
I think he would have, because I think being a younger actor, and, you know, Keanu obviously have been around for a while, but I think him being a younger actor and then having a young Kim Basinger play off of him.
Sure.
And then having Alec Guinness kind of, like, pre-Star Wars, but older, you know, between Bridge on the River Kwai, which was in the 50s and the 70s, I think would have been a interesting movie.
Yeah.
And that. And then Maximilian Schell, just kind of creepy. So, yeah. Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy as Morpheus?
Eddie Murphy as Morpheus.
So, no, those are really good choices.
I'm a dragon. I don't do that tongue thing. I love that line.
I've still never seen that movie.
Mulan?
Yeah.
We're going to have to do that. That's a review then.
Yeah, probably at some point. All right.
Who
so,
would you? You obviously have it.
Well, like, no, I'm just writing it down because I'm going to add it to the notes because I just thought of it as we were talking.
Okay.
So for Smith, I go Lance Reddick.
Okay.
Just because... from The Wire and you know,
Fringe
and all that.
Yeah, because he's got an intense stare.
He's very, very intense.
Yeah.
For Trinity, man, I've been like racking my brain about that one, and it's rough. But
I just did that on the fly. You've been thinking about this.
I have been thinking about it. Like,
was this because of my whole trivia thing where I was
when you said the stuff about Tom Cruise and everything, and I was like, so like I've been going back and forth, and at one point I was like, Anna Kendrick would have been an interesting Trinity, but then she's just too mousy. You know, so you look at that and it's like, all right, who could have done this? And you know, who could be like this like super kick ass, you know, just awesome character. And it's like, I identify with Carrie Ann Moss so much, right? In this role, because she, it's the first thing I ever saw her in.
Which I had seen her in other things before this, so I knew who she
was. Like, you, like looking at that, it's like, okay, who can kick ass with like the kung fu stuff and the acting stuff? And I'm thinking Ming-Na.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Ming-Na. You know, like.
See, you went Mulan too. Yeah. You know?
Is she in?
You know, yeah, she is Mulan. She plays Mulan. Yeah.
Okay.
Famke Janssen would have been a good Trinity.
Yeah, like from GoldenEye.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was, you know, that all was around the same time, so. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she tried out for it, so.
Yeah.
Who's your Morpheus?
See, this was the other really tough one, and it's like, at one point I wanted to go, like, Morgan Freeman, like, Shawshank Morgan Freeman.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Like, but then it's like, I gotta go.
Could you have seen him? Neo, you must pick the red pill or the blue pill. That would have been.
Right.
You know, when Mr. Anderson came to Matrix Prison in 1999.
Yeah, but no, I end up going Gene Hackman.
Scary.
Yeah, like, because, like, he's not, like, he's inspirational.
Gene Hackman?
Hoosiers Gene Hackman.
Hoosiers Gene? Yeah. So you would have gone with an older Gene Hackman. And that, because Lawrence Fishburne was not that old when this movie was done. No. I mean, you know. Lawrence Fishburne doesn't really age, but I mean, he wasn't that old when this movie was done. I mean, the Alec Guinness I was thinking of is like the 60s era Alec Guinness, because, you know, he had been, I mean, he was much older when Star Wars was done, but like he did a lot of movies where he was kind of a leader.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. Ooh, I thought of another Neo.
Oh, yeah?
Steve McQueen would have been an awesome Neo.
Yeah.
Because he's got that quiet about him, mm-hmm. but he can be an action star, too.
Yeah, so my Neo, I went Andy Whitfield, the original Spartacus from the Starz TV series.
Yeah.
So one of the things, like I had tossed back and forth him or Liam McIntyre. Because, with Liam, like, it's all about his eyes, right? Yeah. Like, that's where all, like, his emotion and everything's comes from, like. He would be a horrible Cyclops in X-Men, right?
Because
emotive.
Eyes would be covered.
Like, whereas if you put him in, like, the Bane role that Tom Hardy did.
Yeah.
Like, Tom Hardy did a lot with his eyes in that role. Don't get me wrong. But, like, you put him in that role and everyone's like,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that. More, please. But, no. Andy Whitfield was this, like, tortured soul.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and not just in Spartacus, just in life and everything, but, like, you know, he passed and, you know, he fought cancer and but even through all of that, you know, he was still, like, even for being just on the planet for a short time,
yeah,
you know, he made a big impact. And, like, you know, we talked about Jai Courtney earlier on,
right?
And you know, after Andy passed, like, he did a documentary about him, and you know, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it showed, like, cancer being the bastard that it is.
Mm-hmm.
It showed that even though he was going through as much pain as he was going through, he was still trying to be the best he could be for everybody else.
Right.
And that even though he was in a lot of pain, mm-hmm. and he was dealing with a lot of sickness that comes with cancer.
Right.
And you know, yeah, you're right. The emotion, the emoting that would have to be done. Because even though Keanu is not a very strong emoting character actor,
right,
he still can emote.
He did really well in this role.
Yeah,
I'm not taking anything away from it. And to be 100% honest, like I said, it took a while to, like, really think about who I'd like to see in the role. You know, but it was a relatively diverse cast from the get go. You know, which people, like, to this day, I still don't necessarily do. And
We're right, because in there was a like one of the film facts that I read off of IMDb, or IMDb
about Switch,
sorry, about Switch, where right. Switch in the real world was supposed to be a female, and then in the Matrix was supposed to be a male. That it was going to be two characters,
right.
But the studio didn't feel comfortable with doing that mm-hmm. because it was the transgender right. type thing. And I think if they did that movie today, they would be allowed to do that.
Yeah, because had Boys Don't Cry come out yet?
I don't remember.
I think it was like right after
but
this.
But still,
that
even,
movie,
even
but, yeah.
with that movie wasn't groundbreaking enough to change no. a studio's mind.
Right. But
on that, I mean, you know, it's a groundbreaking movie and it's a sad story. Mm-hmm. And that, but the idea of having a literal Switch character
right.
was just too much for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean... You know, that actress, and I can't remember her name, she plays it anthropomorphic.
Right.
She doesn't, you don't know if she's a male or a female.
Right. And the best thing about her is she's the only one in all white.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I always like that was like nice.
Yeah.
You know,
like literally her hair and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, she's an Australian actor. I know that. But it was one of those things where it's like, you wanted to know more about those characters.
Yeah.
Like where they came from.
Yeah. AIPOC.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with that
Nouse,
guy?
Yeah. AIPOC, Tank. And, you know, the two brothers, it's like they were natural borns. It's like I would have liked to have seen some of that in any Animatrix. Like if they would have done origin stories of those characters or like a comic book or something.
Yeah.
They would have done that.
I know there were comics and stuff like yeah. that. I never picked them up.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I looked at them, but they weren't. Yeah. They weren't anything that really. Like the Matrix to me is one of those things where it is the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the Animatrix builds off of that. And it does show a good origin story.
Right.
But that movie could be just a singular movie by itself.
I, you know, and I'm going to just repeat myself. To this day,
mm-hmm.
if the second two Matrix movies never come out, we're we talk about the Matrix in the same breath we talk about Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. On that note, we are the Infamous Podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. You know, you can find us, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, pretty much anywhere else you can get a podcast. Check it out. You can also go to our website for any links and different things that we talk about. At some point, we will start blogging more regularly than we do.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, Johnny, where can they find you online?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Johnny Podorf and on Facebook.
Cool. And you can find me pretty much most social networks at Brian Tudor. So any last words about the Matrix?
Check out the Girls of the Finest interview with Mary Mercenary, a.k.a. Sarah.
Yeah.
Just posted
I think
on
it's Sarah, a.k.a. Mary Mercenary. But know. No, it just went live just a few days ago.
In the
ago,
Matrix,
so.
She's Mary Mercenary. And in the real world, she's Sarah.
So cosplayers are like the closest like thing to Matrix.
To what the Matrix yeah. would be.
Yeah.
Kind of, and it's that whole thing with where the Tron
part
thing pulls in to that. That's where I say that's where the Tron thing
definitely.
Is because
the grid,
the users and the grid and the Matrix and the
I fight for the users.
Yeah,
and Neo fights for the users.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly,
Neo would fight for the users. So.
All right, guys. Well, on that note,
thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday with a review of Star Trek: The Undiscovered Country.
Yeah.
Number 6. All right.
Have a good one.
Later.